Hello and welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, and mentor. Today's guests are the three amigos, Philip Bivens, Casey Moss, and Daryl Smith. Philip and Casey spent 2018 learning the industry and investing as limited partners in syndications and met their third partner, Daryl, in 2019 at a Jake and Gino money mixer. Gotta love them money mixers, everybody. Fast forward to April of 2021, they purchased their first deal, followed quickly by a second one in December of 2021. All three are now full-time multifamily real estate entrepreneurs. Let me say that again. That sounds so nice, Jake and Gino. We create multifamily real estate entrepreneurs. Welcome to the show, the three amigos. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thanks, Gino.
Doing good.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
So congratulations to the three of you. I just found out that you all left your jobs recently. I would love to hear each of you tell your short version of the story, how you got into real estate and why real estate for you. Go ahead, Philip. You know, you up.
Yeah. So, you know, Casey and I, we started with single family, I'd say a couple of years, a few years ago, and figured out it was going to take a long time at that pace. And so we learned, you know, there's a better way to do it or a different way with multifamily. And so for me personally, I decided to kind of make a switch to do this full time, even though I wasn't, all my ducks wasn't lined up necessarily, but I needed the time and the headspace to do it, to do deals. And that was almost a year ago. And, you know, we've been able to really scale quickly since I made that decision. So that's why I did that.
I love that. Casey?
Yeah, the same. So still, I've been dabbling in single families for about 19 years. Philip and I went down the single family road and, like you said, quickly figured out that that was not the scalable model that we wanted to follow, so to speak. Dove into multifamily at the same time together, started educating ourselves, found Jake and Gino, joined Jake and Gino, right? And then which led to meeting Daryl at a money mixer, which turned into our first deal, which has been an excellent deal for us. And then I would say once that first deal occurred, I think it propelled all of us forward at that time, and which led to, you know, again, being diligent about setting goals and setting those milestones for us and for me personally. So actually, you know, it was probably a couple of years of setting goals and milestones. And then when we closed our second deal, I was able to leave my job as well and go full-time real estate entrepreneur.
All right. Before we get to Daryl, you said one thing that really stuck out in my mind. I was listening to your words and you said, we dabbled in single family. And what happens, everybody, when you dabble, it means you're not focusing. What was the switch? I mean, Casey, what was the switch into why multifamily? Because everybody out there, kudos, they join within 3 years. They've had the results and they've left their jobs. But Daryl, why were you dabbling in single families and not really all in?
Yeah. So working full time and trying to do single families, you know, it was a challenging task, right, to do. And then after we joined Jake and Gino, we got our education. And before that, we were educating, quickly realized that, you know, taking it serious, one, taking action, getting educated. And two, that, you know, you don't have to buy a single family because a single family transaction is not all that much harder than a multifamily transaction. And so the scalability is obviously a lot quicker.
Yeah, I love that. And Daryl, before you start talking, I remember meeting you at one of the first Jake and Gino bootcamp events. We're in Knoxville. Everybody picture this. Daryl's there. Awesome cowboy hat, big ass belt buckle, great looking cowboy boots. I'm like, I like this guy. He's an oil and gas. I met him. His wife was there at the time. It was awesome. It was like the beginning of Jake and Gino, where we started doing these in-person events. And I saw the power of networking. I saw the power of meeting other students, the power of the mindset, the power of the peer group. You know, you surround yourself with five people around in your life. And that's what I wanted to create for Jake and Gino. But Daryl, do you remember that meeting, that first event? I'm like, this is freaking awesome. I'm going to really love this Jake and Gino community.
Yep, I do remember that. That was an awesome event and really, really got us rolling in multifamily for sure. Met some great people that I still keep in good contact with. And I don't know, man, that was awesome.
So for you, let me hear your story. I mean, you just said you had a five-year plan, and let's talk about your story really quick. Why multifamily for you, and how have you been able to do that within 5 years so quickly?
Sure. So I like the multifamily just for the hedge against vacancy and then just the ability to scale quicker, right? We did a lot of single family stuff too, and it was heavy lift, value add, a lot of live-in flips, new construction. Horse properties were kind of my wife and I's specialty, and they were big hits, but they were a lot of work, right? They were big capital gains. We had no intention of holding them for cash flow. And so we knew time value headache that multifamily would be much better. So we went that route, and luckily meeting Casey and Phil, we were able to put our heads together, and we saw a little niche, and so we took a chance on it, and we were way, way more conservative in our underwriting than we probably needed to be. That thing has, I don't know, what do you think, guys, quadrupled our expectations or something?
Yeah.
It's been an incredible property. And I don't know, man, just scalability for sure.
That's awesome. Now, Philip, you had sent something to me before we started recording and jumping off a cliff, leaving your W-2. I want you to create a picture for everybody, because was it really that scary? Because when you jump off a cliff, I mean, there's impending death. All you're doing is leaving a W-2 job. Is there impending death with a W-2 job, or do we create this fear in our minds and it paralyzes us and it doesn't give us the opportunity to have clarity?
That's exactly right. It was, hindsight 2020, it was not scary whatsoever. I would have done it way before now, knowing that's what I know now. But no, it was the thing to do to drive our business forward. Mm-hmm. You know, the ability, the things I've been able to do since that, you know, closed multiple deals since then. But it seemed like a big deal. It seemed like a cliff, you know, a few years ago. But mm-hmm. now it was a sound business practice.
So before I ask Casey the next question, I want to stick with you, Phil, because you're looking at the cliff. You did it. Give all the listeners out there a couple of tips, pointers that led you to look at that cliff and say, not really, I'm just going to jump into it. Everything's going to be okay. What did you do to prepare yourself to leave the W-2 and go into the business full time?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, money is a factor. And so I can make more money, or the same token, I can want less. And so right now and last year, I've wanted less. I have a pretty low burn rate. You know, I'm probably a minimalist by nature anyway. And so that's what I did. I don't have a huge lifestyle that I had to support. And so that's one thing. And also, we had closed this deal, the first deal, and I was confident in what we could do again. And I knew, given the time and have the ability, that, you know, we could find more things. And so that's what I did. But I did make sure we closed the deal, and, you know, we kind of proved the model. We had something going and be able to accelerate that.
Thanks for sharing that with me. Now, Casey, what problems were the three amigos? Maybe you can speak for yourself, but what problems were you experiencing before joining Jake and Gino? You were dabbling, you weren't focused. What else problems were you experiencing?
Yeah, so just, you know, education, the knowledge, and the support system, I would say, were probably the three big factors. And so after joining Jake and Gino, you know, I was able to get a lot of education, which gave me a lot more comfort, right? Staying diligent with that. And then having a coach as a backup, right? I considered that to be almost like an insurance policy even too, right? It was an investment in my education, my future. It was an insurance policy because I had a coach that I could speak with and bounce things off of, make sure I was seeing things properly, right? As underwriting deals or evaluating deals. And then another key piece, I think, that was big for me was the network. So, you know, sometimes when you tell folks what you're doing, they kind of look at you funny, right? So surrounding, a big piece for me was surrounding myself with people like Philip and Daryl that are doing the same thing and trying to achieve the same things. So when I got myself surrounded by that network and that community, we met Daryl, right, that same event. And everybody's trying to learn the same things, trying to do the same things. And I think that, along with all the other things, was another key factor that helped propel me in the direction, you know, help me align, help me focus better. All those key things, you know, when you're trying to move in a different direction, so to speak. So those are all factors for me.
Casey, people have been looking at me weird for the last 20 plus years. I've got 6 kids. We homeschool. I've got a business. Now I've got an educational platform, and I can't even tell people what I do for a living. So I get those looks all the time. That's why I created the community. I love the community. So keep bringing those looks on. Those are great looks, because all of a sudden that opens up the conversation. How do you do that? Well, I got a great wife. It just starts the conversation. So we want those looks. We love those looks. Now, Daryl, for you, When did you realize you could do this? Because you had a great job. I mean, I remember talking to you. You're on the rig, oil and gas out there, working tons of hours. You're making a really great living at the same time. So sometimes you may be comfortable in your W-2. But when did it realize and dawn on you that, hey, I can do this thing full time?
Yeah, I think the big paradigm shift for me was I was constantly taken. So, you know, flash forward to the beginning of the show and I talk about the big hits. And, you know, the development, the land split stuff, the new construction stuff, I was constantly taking that money and rolling it into LP investment, kind of build some cash flow. And as my kids started, I have two young kids, a three-year-old and a five-year-old, and as they started watching them grow and, you know, in oil and gas, you're basically committed to be at, you know, the work site for 2 weeks at a time away from your family. And so I started getting sick of trading that, and I started going, okay, man, if I can build up enough passive income here to cover my burn rate and basically, you know, buy my financial freedom, then with the active deals, I can just rock and roll and really blow this thing up. And so I had set the goal basically when my son turned 5 years old to be completely out of oil and gas, and his fifth birthday was my last day. And we've been rocking and rolling ever since. And now we get to do it, you know, 80 hours a week instead of, you know, 7 hours a night or whatever it was. But
wow.
it's been great.
How'd your wife feel about it? Did she think you were crazy when you first met me in Knoxville? And she's probably like, what are these guys selling? What are you doing here? You want to leave your job? How are we going to do that? What was her reservations? What does she think?
She's pretty like-minded. She's the workhorse, man. She is a absolute stud when it comes to manual labor and just like get stuff done. She's actually managing that property for us right now and it's killing it, but she was okay with it. She's always put a lot of trust and faith in me on the financial stuff and just kind of backed my play. She's been my number one support system for sure, but she was unsure about apartments just because she didn't know. But I think that event and meeting you guys and seeing what you guys were able to do really opened her up to like, all right, if this is what you want to do, I'll get behind you and we can start rolling some of this money in. Cause you start talking about some of these minimum on LP investments and now we don't even bat an eye at it, right? But when you're new to the game and you hear $50,000 or $100,000 minimum, it takes a paradigm shift. But you start seeing a couple of those things rolling over and the money coming back to you and you know, owning something that pays you to own it. You're like, hey man, this ain't too bad. Mm-hmm. When the you know, the instant deposits hit every month or every quarter. So I don't know. She's been great. It took her a minute to get on board, but that on-site intensive sure helped. And she's been behind us every step of the way since.
So a couple nuggets for everybody out there. If your spouse is not on board, join Jake and Gino, bring her to an event, let her see other like-minded people. I think it's important, or any mentorship program or any program out there, bring them to a meetup. If they have reservations, show them what you want to do, give them your map. I think a couple of things that also, as you said, Daryl, a paradigm shift. People see the world as they are, not as it is. So if you're stuck in a rut and you constantly keep seeing the same things, go out and start experiencing other things. Start doing some property tours. Start talking to some other investors. Don't only be stuck in your network or your community. Go out there and continue to grow. Because once you start seeing things differently, things will change for you. And I think the third thing is, which is really important, everybody, Daryl was doing what I was doing at the restaurant and what probably Philip and Casey were doing. We're trading time for dollars. And that's what the W-2 or the middle class does. Nothing wrong with that. Just be aware that you will never become financially free that way. The question you need to ask yourself, are you working hard for your money or is your money working hard for you? And once I had that revelation a little over 10 years ago, I got really depressed for a few minutes and said, no, I'm working really hard for my money. If something happens to me, we're done. How do I start making the shift? And I love what Daryl did. And I loved what Philip and Casey did. They went the LP route in the very first thing. They started investing as limited partners, just starting to get that little bit of cash flow coming in, letting their money work hard for them and getting the experience, which is an awesome way to start. So kudos to the three of you guys. Now, Philip, let's dive into this deal. You got a 10 unit, 8 RVs and 35 horse stalls. First time on Jake and Gino with horse stall. So I got to hear how you guys found the deal and how do you even underwrite a deal like that?
Well, we had been, you know, Daryl lives in Stephenville, Texas. And so Stephenville is, what's it called, Daryl, the cowboy capital of the world. That's the what Stephenville is.
Yeah, so I think there's more rodeo cowboys per capita than anywhere in the country. It's
Yeah. If you got a horse, Stephenville's a place to be. And I used to live about 30 miles from there. We had been talking for a few months about the potential opportunity. And so we've been looking at these assets for a while. We were looking for one of them. And so then we found one that was for sale. Fortunately, we were able to, and we had made some offers on some ones that weren't for sale and wasn't able to get them. And then we were able to be the first one to offer on a deal that had not went to market yet. So they had just listed it and we found it and we were able to be the first ones on it. And so that really, I think, helped us to be able to put it, get the deal competitively as well.
Can you share some numbers with me? Purchase price, what you thought NOI was going to be, rents, how did that all look?
Yeah. Daryl, you might know. Do you remember that better?
Yeah, sure. So we bought it for $780,000. And I think the rent roll month one was about $4,500. And I think the rent roll now is closer to about $14,500 a month.
In 15 months or 13 months.
Yeah. Yeah. We doubled it in 3 months.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like we went in there and cranked the spigot. We had a lot of natural move outs. We just kind of had some rough tenants in there that needed gone. There was one group that had been in there. This property was built in 2011, so it's a pretty nice property, but they were like the first lease up or something. They had been there. They had 12 dogs and 4 people live in a little 700 square foot unit or something. So once we got rid of them, it was easy. And then it was all the normal value add stuff, deferred maintenance. The developer that built it, you know, he was an older guy and the same manager managed it. And they just thought you could build it and then you never had to operate it. And they didn't have a high debt load on it, so they probably didn't care that much. And we were able to get really, really good financing on it through a local credit union, and it's been absolutely awesome.
So what are you guys planning on doing with this deal? Are you going to be able to refinance the deal? It's cash flowing monthly. Are you going to hold it for the long term, sell it? What does that look like for you guys, Daryl?
Sure. So we plan to hold it long term. We're in the middle of we've got 15-year debt on this thing. We got a 15-30. 80 LTV, they rolled in the fees. So we don't really want to refi. It's at 4.25%. Obviously rates, everybody knows what rates are doing here lately. So we don't want to refi, but the cool thing about our community bank is they're actually going to let us take a second out on it and pull a bunch of equity out. We're going to inject a little bit of capital, fix the roads, add a couple amenities to it. But we should be more than whole with basically pulling all of our cash out, and we'll have a long-term amortized second on it.
And what do you think the property is worth right now?
It's probably worth 1.6, 1.7, pretty conservatively. It's about 118,000, 120,000 year NOI.
Wow. So that's how you do your first deal, everybody. No deal is better than a bad deal. It took a while to figure this deal out. And there's two things that really stick out of my mind about this deal. Number one, you guys know the three pillars of real estate. So you're buying in this part of the market cycle, a newer asset, which is what I really like. You're buying that newer asset, 2011 build. And number two, this is your classic mom and pop. Casey, jump in here right now and tell me why it's a mom and pop before I jump in. And I'm drooling over here because I hear all these buzzwords, you know, low debt, don't care, bad tenants, burned out. Give me your picture of why a mom and pop and why everyone listening should really focus on these mom and pops, because they're all over the place in the country.
They are. So there's a lot of, you know, we immediately saw the value in the deal. It was locally owned and a local real estate agent managed it. So it was, you know, when we found it, we could tell it was, you know, had some relatively high opportunity based on what we knew about the market. So we had spent time, Daryl lived in the market. We all spent a little time studying the market. So we immediately, when we found the property, knew what we had on our hands. With just a few questions to the property manager, quickly realized how much meat was on the bone. So yeah, mom and pop, thus far, all of our acquisitions have been off market through mom and pop style acquisitions. So we joke, the three of us joke a little bit, or, you know, off and on about, you know, we're not sure we know how to buy a property from a broker quite yet. So
I love that. So before we go to short answers, I really want to ask you guys, this is the first deal. You feel locked in. You've got the framework on how to do the first deal. How did the next deal come about? What's that next deal look like, Philip?
You know, it's a similar process where we, you know, we sourced that off market as well. It took us about a year and a half for that one to come to fruition, but we stayed in contact with that owner for about a year and a half. And Eventually, he decided to sell and develop a relationship with him over that time, and end up doing that one at the end of last year. And but as a similar deal as that in the Stephenville, is we had done our homework on the market, so we knew it was under undervalued, and so we knew what we could do with it, and that's exactly what we're doing now.
I love that. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsors.
Involved in multifamily, this is where you need to be.
The team you've built is incredible.
There is no egos here. Everyone is always looking to help the other person.
Now, I want to ask all three of you, you know, you may have similar answers or different answers. Phil, number one to you, what is your goals or what does the business look like to you in the next 5 years?
Yeah, we're in the acquisition phase. We want to continue to scale. I'm not looking so much for a door, but I want to get my cash flow to a certain number in the next 5 years. And so as much cash flow, and I do have a number, but to free up more of my time to do the things that are more, you know, that I find valuable. That's what my 5-year plan is. And that will entail some syndications and then hopefully transitioning soon into more joint venture partnerships.
Excellent. Casey?
Yeah, same, very similar. I'm a firm believer in cash flow. You know, if it don't cash flow, let the grass grow. Yeah. So looking for cash flow, same as Philip, you know, trying to get to a certain cash flow number, not worried about net worth, you know, what I have, you know, getting built up necessarily, but more about cash flow so that I can live the life that I want to live as well. I got 2 small boys. So, and a supportive wife, you know, that's helping us build this, you know, build this so that we can, to Philip's point, do the things that we want to do that we're passionate about, live the life we want to live. So, yeah.
So let me piggyback off of that real quick, Daryl, before you jump in. Casey and Philip and Daryl all seem like they want cash flow, and that's what we want. But the amazing thing is cash flow comes from equity and net worth. What did they do in this deal? They created $700,000 of net worth or of equity. It's the conveyor belt, everybody. They put a deal on the conveyor belt. They let that deal matriculate. That net worth is coming to fruition. Now they're extracting that net worth out of the deal. And I know Philip's not going out and buying a Lambo. That's not what he wants. He's putting that money into the next deal, which is what we all want. And that next deal, you have equity in that deal cash flows for you. And guess what? In the next year or two, you can repeat the process. It may be hard sometimes because you're planting seeds and those seeds take a little bit of time to plant. It may take you 18 months like Jake and myself to find that first deal. You guys have been in the community 3 years. You've got a few deals. That's amazing. But once you start the conveyor belt and you understand the process, and what I love about you guys, you figure out what your niche is. You love the multifamily. You got some RVs. You got a horse. You love your market. You understand your market. And it's ironic because that may not be an amazing capital appreciation market, but it's a cash flowing market. But you're able to figure out that it's all based on that net operating income. You raise that net operating income. You raise the value of the property, and then you go out and you refi that capital out. There's your net worth, plop it into the next deal. So kudos to you guys. And number one thing that Casey said, if it don't cash flow, you let the grass grow. You need to pay the bills. Daryl, let it rip. What about you?
Yeah, similar 5-year goals for sure. Just more cash flow, more units, you know. Rush to refi, reinvest, man. We're long-term holders for sure. I've got an appetite for some new development stuff. Absolutely, for sure. It's kind of my background. So getting some bigger stuff there. Definitely do more deals with Casey and Phil. Absolutely. And just keep rocking and rolling, man.
I love crazy. That. Rush to refi. That I think I'm going to have to trademark that bad boy. I like that. We call it refi and roll, but rush to refi and roll. I think I'm going to add that one. So thank you. I love that. I want each of you to answer this question. This question is really important because you've touched upon it in this previous question. Philip first, then Casey, then Daryl. when I'm looking for partners, I'm at a Jake and Gino event, feel good. Everyone in the community is amazing. What should you look for in a partnership that will make it last? And you know, you don't have to do every single deal with a partner, but what do you guys look for in a partnership? Philip first.
Yeah. You know, somebody that, that we align with, you know, your values align with, and who want the same things. Yeah. For example, to your point, if, you know, I wouldn't make a good partner for somebody who wants a big appreciation play because, you know, we're looking for like cash flow. And so finding somebody that our business minds align with what we're looking for, but is really important. So I think that's what I would say is a big thing, making sure that our visions align for what we want out of the business.
Excellent. Casey.
Yeah. So all of what Philip said, for sure, the values, the alignment, you know, cash flow is important, right? And then the other thing that's important for me is that, you know, I'm not the smartest fella on the block. I'm not good at everything, obviously. I'm only good at, Philip might only say barely one thing, but
I don't know what that is.
Finding these two fellas helps make up for all of my shortcomings and shortfalls. So they really, you know, these two guys really fill a void, you know, where I'm not strong. So that's been huge for me.
I love that. And Daryl?
Yeah, similar thing, man. Alignment of interest for sure. People you can trust, people you like, people that have similar values as you. Because it's, you realize, you know, they become your friends and you're not, it's not always all business, but, you know, Casey hit on this earlier. We're all financially minded and we're all, you know, personal development gurus and we're all doing all we can to be better and live our most fulfilled life. And so, you know, surround yourself with people that have that similar mindset, people that you get energized when the phone rings and their name's on the other end of it, you know, and a 5-minute call turns into a hour long call every time with these guys, because we're always bouncing ideas off each other and pumping each other up. That's huge to me. And I think, you know, a lot of guys will say like, find somebody that has opposite strengths as you. I think there's some truth in that, but honestly, man, find somebody that you like, you trust, because you can always hire out stuff that you're weak at.
That's a great point. I love that. I want the three of you now just to share some resources, whether it's a book, a podcast, something that really changed your life and trajectory, and something you can share with the listeners out there to get them started in multifamily. Philip, you first.
The a book I like, it's called The Success Principles. It's one of the first audiobooks that I've listened to quite a few years ago, but it encompassed virtually every self-development or many self-development books into one. And it kind of works in an outline format like my brain does. And so I took a lot from that book.
Thank you. Casey?
Yeah. So Philip mentioned a book, I'll mention a podcast. So, you know, I have a variety of podcasts I listen to, right? But I would say the thing that probably helped me propel this into the most was honestly probably the Jake and Gino podcast that you guys do. And I say that because, you know, not only just the education, what I was learning, listening to the podcast, but it also gave me a feel and a vibe for how you ran the community. And that's the type of community I was looking for that had the values, the family orientation. And that's what led me to Jake and Gino, which is what helped, I would say, propel me into multifamily, being a multifamily entrepreneur. So
thank you. Daryl?
Yeah. One thing I would kind of encourage everybody to do, it's something that I picked up a few years ago, but anytime I get a high school graduation announcement, Rich Dad Poor Dad is by far my favorite book. It taught me about passive income. And so I always push that book. It's simple. I think it gets people energized and then they jump in. So what I like to do is I like to take Rich Dad Poor Dad and then I'll write some other resources. All right, podcast in there. All right. You know, this book changed my life, blah, blah, blah. I'll put $100 in it and I send it to every high school graduate. But there's open courseware at MIT. You can take any college level course there. There's tons of podcasts. I put all my financial podcasts, real estate podcasts, obviously Jake and Gino. And yeah, man, so I try to give that to at least 10 copies of that out a year to young people, because I wish I'd have got it 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love that. I want to recap the show real quick for everybody. If you guys don't mind, just give me a minute of recapping this, because this is truly important for me. It's been an awesome show because you never know what happens in life. You show up at an event, you meet somebody, you have an impact on them. They're looking for something, but all three of these guests today have truly worked hard. They've talked about clarity. They were clear. They talked about jumping off a cliff, how scary that was. But in retrospect, looking back, it wasn't that scary. It shouldn't have been that scary. They talked about dabbling. in real estate. But when you dabble, you get nowhere. But when you get focused and you get serious, it's really important. And something that you said in your one of your last answers was talk about values and partnerships. I would challenge everybody out there. We do it intuitively. We do it subconsciously. Let's become conscious about what our values are. And let's make it values-based decision-making. I mean, that comes with everything. I love how Philip says our values is we want cash flow. We want to be able to leave our jobs and have that stability. Well, that's a value, right? You want security. You want money coming in. So are you going to be looking for those two caps with no value and just holding on and trying to preserve wealth instead of creating wealth? That even gives you the opportunity, the ability to think of what kind of deals you're looking for. So as you're listening to this, once you shut this off, think about what your values are. Think about what kind of decisions you're going to make based on your values. Is that person a good fit to be a partner? Is that vendor going to fit my lifestyle? Is he great? Does he coincide with my values? As I start scaling my business and my community, do these people align with my values? If I'm looking for a partner, does that person align with my values? I think that's really, really important. A couple other things that I would mention, the paradigm shift is huge. That Daryl talked about. You know, people see the world as they are, not as it truly is. Once you start surrounding yourself and listening to different messages and watching different shows and talking to different people, your life completely starts to change and you don't have that groupthink. You have the ability to think about other things. And once your mind starts expanding, man, put gasoline on that fire. Now, which one of you three is the marketer? Because I want people to be able to reach out to you. So where can the listeners reach out to you guys?
Casey.
Go.
Yeah. So probably best is my email or through Facebook. Obviously, you can find me on Facebook pretty easy, Casey Moss. And then my email is casey@b=mlegacy.com.
Guys, I want to thank the three amigos for being amazing guests on the show and sharing their Movers and Shakers story. Now, if you want to be on the next Movers and Shakers, email us at mckenzie@jakeandgino.com. Now, also, if you like the show, please leave us a review. Until next time, boys, let's all make it a Movers and Shakers week. See you, everybody.